morning, we'll make a wee start just to our service of worship today by singing together the hymn number 113 in the hymn book. It's the first hymn in our order of service. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessing springs, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Wonderful words of truth, reminding us of all the great blessings of God's salvation. They flow through us from Christ and through the shedding of his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary. We'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord, praying for the Lord's help and blessing in the season of worship today. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we do gather, Lord, before thee this Sabbath morning in no merit of our own. But, O God, we come to thee today in the merit and through the worth of Christ, our blessed and our only Redeemer. And Father, we thank thee indeed for the words of this hymn that we have been singing. How we rejoice today as the people of God in the precious blood of Christ. That blood that cleanseth us from all our sins. That blood that sets us free from the wrath to come. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that the redeeming blood of Christ will be our praise and will be our song in heaven for all of eternity. And, O God, we thank thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee that he was sinless. He was without spot. Lord, thy word declares that he is the altogether lovely one. We thank thee that he could say, I do always those things that please him, God the Father. And, Father, we thank thee that thou thyself didst speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Father, we thank that Christ came for a purpose. And that purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we thank Thee that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary. And there He laid down His life as a ransom to God for our sins. We thank that there He paid the penalty of our sin in full when He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." We thank Thee, O God, that He drank that bitter cup for us. And Father, we thank Thee that through Jesus Christ, who has died, who has risen again, that we have the great blessing of eternal salvation, that we have the great hope of everlasting life and a home in heaven, and the forgiveness of all of our sins, and peace, O God, with Thee, and the blessing of Thy grace, and the unsearchable riches of the blessing of God are ours, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. And Father, we thank that Christ is in heaven praying for the people of God. And we thank Thee, O God, that He is our great High Priest in the glory, and that because He lives, we shall live also. Father in heaven, as we come before Thee this day, we do confess our sins before Thee as Thy people. And Lord, create within us a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. And Lord, prepare our hearts this day to meet with Thee and to worship Thee. And help us, Lord, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips would be acceptable, O God, in Thy sight, our God and our Redeemer. We do thank Thee for every good and every perfect gift today. We thank Thee for our health, our strength. We thank Thee for our freedom, our liberties. We thank Thee, O God, for the Word of God and our mother tongue that we can read and understand. And Father, we thank Thee today for the blessing of Thy day, the Lord's day. And Lord, we think of John of old, how he could say, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And Lord, that would be the desire of our heart, that that indeed would be our experience, our portion today, that we might be in the Spirit. Pour out Thy Spirit, O God, upon us. Thou hast said in Thy word that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Bless all who have joined with us here today in the house of God. Bless all those also who are listening in online. Bless every believer in the Lord. Encourage Thy people. For any cold at heart, give reviving grace. Any with us today, any listening in unsaved, speak to them, Lord. Awaken them and bring them in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. And bless them, O God, this day with Thy salvation, we pray. Remember, Lord, those today that are ill, those that are led aside, be pleased to touch them, to strengthen them. Remember, Lord, those that are shut in, encourage them, minister to them. Remember those that are shielding, watch over them, we pray. And others who have suffered loss in recent days, comfort their hearts and be their helper and be their strength in their time of need. Bless the work of our Sunday school and Bible class. We thank Thee for the going forth of Thy word amongst the young already this morning. And do bless our children, Lord, and do bless our young people, and save them and bless them and lead them in the ways of the Lord our God, we pray. We pray also, Heavenly Father, O Lord, that Thou would bless all our homes and unite them all in the Lord and meet every need in our family circles, we pray. Bless the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade and every other outreach from this congregation. Use it for the glory and the honor of God. Grant us Thy blessing here this morning around Thy word, and as we consider Thy truth, remember the meeting this afternoon as well. Grant there that there too we will know the blessing of the Lord. And Lord, what we pray for ourselves, we pray that in like fashion that Thou will bless our lamb today. Remember every faithful servant of God. Bless the going forth of Your word to the saving of souls. Remember these islands especially, north and south of the border, England, Scotland, and Wales. We pray for a real move of God in mercy and in grace at this time, that Thou will turn the hearts of many unto the Lord. Remember our Queen and royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of Thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household and prevail in those hearts, we pray, that there might be the turning to the Lord.
Remember, Lord, those that rule over us in government here and in Westminster, oh, that they would rule in righteousness and in the fear of God and in accordance with thy word, and bring to naught every plan of evil, we ask of thee. And Lord, preserve and protect our gospel heritage in these days, we ask. We pray for our missionaries, that thou wilt bless them at home and abroad. Remember Sister Joy, especially at this time in Nepal. Watch over her there and protect her, and keep her and thy people, Lord, safe there in that land at this time. And even there, put thy restraining hand upon this virus, we pray. Do us good now, we ask of thee. Close us in, Lord, with yourself, and we will leave the house of God this day, knowing that we've been blessed and we've met with God, and that thy word would have free course and be blessed to our hearts and souls as thou would see our need. We ask it all for our Savior's sake and for his eternal glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn, please, in God's word for our Bible reading to the New Testament book of Acts. We're turning to Acts chapter number 2, reading some verses just from verse 37 of that chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 47. Acts chapter 2, beginning our reading at the verse number 37 and going down to the end to the verse number 47. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 47. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome each one this Lord's Day morning to the house of God. It's good to see so many gathered with us here today. We bid you a very special welcome. We trust and pray the Lord will bless you. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged in the Lord. If you're not saved, that this day would be the day of your salvation, of coming unto Christ. We give a special welcome also to those that are viewing online, whoever you are, wherever you might be. We pray the Lord will richly bless you also today in accordance with your need around his precious and holy word. Now, the announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the special centenary service of Thanksgiving here for the province of Northern Ireland, and that service is this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. And it's right and proper that we mark this special occasion in the history of our land, giving thanks to God. So remember that meeting, plan to join with us, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word this afternoon at 3:30. Our brother Mr. George Walker will be with us to sing, and then our brother Mr. Colin Maxwell will be giving a brief sketch of the history of Northern Ireland and its establishment, and we'll be bringing God's word as well at the close of the meeting. So remember that, pray for it, and do make it known, and invite and encourage others in to hear God's word. Do remember that there'll be no service here tonight at 7 p.m., so if you turn up tonight, you'll be here on your own. So do just note that there'll be no evening service. Tuesday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting out in Tresna. Do be much in prayer for that meeting. And then the prayer meeting here in the church at 8 o'clock. And I belong to take that meeting. I commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer
and Bible study. Friday, 6:30, the Bethel Children's Meeting. Be much in prayer for that. And then 8 o'clock, the Young People's Fellowship. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather for that season of fellowship around God's Word. Next Lord's Day, the 23rd of May, Sabbath School and Bible Class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. And in the will of the Lord, I'll be long to bring God's Word. The offering came to for our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, on Tuesday night, came to £750, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Also this coming Saturday, the 22nd of May at 12:30, in the Diamond in Enniskillen, there is a socially distanced witness against abortion. This is organized by CBR Northern Ireland, an evangelical Christian group raising a voice against abortion. I've been asked to bring the gospel at that gathering as well, so we'd value prayer for that. The offering plates are at the rear as you leave, and after the meeting, well, as the Lord, I'll be going to the door to greet you just outside as you leave. So those are really all by way of necessary announcements today. We're going to turn again, please, in God's Word to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Before we come to the preaching of God's Word, we're just going to look to the Lord in a wee word of prayer. Perhaps we could just stand to our feet just to change our position as we pray and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching and to the ministry of Thy Word. We pray for help. We pray for wisdom. We pray for divine enablement. We pray for the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless and apply Thy Word today to the strengthening of the saints of God, to the saving of precious, never-dying souls, and to the blessing and to the encouragement of Thy people and the exaltation of Christ. Be with us now, we ask. Close us in, Lord, with Thyself. Give us help. Give us enablement. Give us liberty. Give us right words in the preaching of Thy Word. And have Thy way in every heart and every life, O God, today. Lead and guide by Thy Spirit in the remaining moments of this meeting. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning is verse number 39 of Acts chapter 2. In recent weeks and months, we've been looking at some of the great promises of God in the Bible, and here reference is made to the great promise of God's so great a salvation. It says here in verse number 39, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, Acts chapter 2 is a chapter that really records for us that the preaching of the Apostle Peter at the time of Pentecost and the outcome of his preaching, and no doubt because of God's blessing upon his ministry, was that many who listened, who heard, were convicted of their sin. You see that in particular from what is said in verse 37 of the chapter, where it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And you see there from that statement that those people in particular were concerned about their sin. They were concerned about salvation. And in answering their concerns, Peter then goes on and he addresses them in verse number 38 of the chapter. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And with those words in particular, Peter there speaks to them about the great promise of God's salvation. And by this salvation is for all, whoever they are, who will repent of their sins and will put their faith and trust in Christ as Savior. And in reference to that specific promise of salvation, Peter goes on then in the words of our text, verse number 39, and he says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You notice there how Peter makes mention to the promise. When he talks here about the promise, he is speaking specifically
but the promise of God's salvation, which God offers free to all. As the hymn writer says, salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Yes, it is interesting to note that when Peter speaks these words here in verse 39, he's actually quoting from a promise that the Lord gave many years before to the prophet Joel back in the Old Testament time. And today it is this great promise of salvation that I want us to think about and to look at today. And believer, may you be encouraged afresh in your salvation as you consider what the Word of God says to you and I here about the promise of salvation. But likewise, if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer is that even today as we consider God's Word, that you too personally and individually, even in this gathering, will be led to trust Christ as Savior even today. The first thing I want you to notice here is that this promise of salvation, it is an ancient promise. It is an ancient promise. Verse 39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We have already mentioned in our introduction that these words are part of a promise that God gave to his servant Joel back before the New Testament time. You turn the page back there to Acts chapter 2 and the verses 16 and 17, you'll see there how Peter here makes specific reference to this very promise. He says in verse 16 of Acts chapter 2, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on and he says in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now you can read further about that promise back in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 itself. So we see here that this promise of salvation, it's an ancient promise. It is one in particular here that was given some 800 years before the time of Pentecost when Peter preaches and speaks here in Acts chapter 2. Yes, it dates back to the time of Joel, some 800 years before the time of Pentecost. But you know, we can say further this morning that even before the days of the prophet Joel, this promise of salvation was given by God. You can trace it right back to the very dawn of time, to the very beginning of time itself when God created man and created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You remember whenever Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden and yielded to the temptation of the devil, God then gave a promise of salvation. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Here he was addressing Satan. And he says, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the seed there of the woman that God speaks of at the beginning of time is Christ, the Son of God. He who was born of the Virgin Mary. He who is the only Savior of sinners. Was given, yes, in the days of Joel. This promise was given, yes, at the beginning of time when God created man after man fell in the Garden of Eden. But you know, we can say even before time itself, even before there was such a thing as time in this world, God gave this promise of salvation and he gave it in eternity past. Listen to what John says of Christ in Revelation 13 and the verse number 8. There he speaks of Christ and he describes him as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Before the fall of man, before the creation of the world, in eternity past, God promised a Savior for sinners, a Savior from all sin. Now, speaking of that very promise, the hymn writer rightly says, 'tis old, yet ever new. Dear friend, in our meeting today, let me say this. This promise of salvation through Christ, it is no new thing. This is not man's invention. This is not something that man has thought of. It is the promise of God. God, the Creator, the God of eternity. It is the promise of God from eternity past. It really shows, yes, that God knew that you and I would need salvation. It shows, yes, that before time itself, God loved you and I, and He thought of you and I, and in doing so, He planned, He purposed a way whereby we could be saved from our sins. And by that way is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, the promise of salvation is an ancient promise. We can say further today that the promise of salvation here that is mentioned in Acts 2, verse 39, is a reliable promise. It's a reliable promise. You see, the value of a promise depends upon the person who gives that promise. Well, it is God Himself who made this promise of salvation for guilty sinners, sinners like you and I, deserving of hell. It is God who made this promise. Look again at what Peter says at the beginning of verse number 17 there of Acts chapter 2. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. This is God's promise. It is God who has given this promise of salvation that Peter speaks of in our text, verse 39, when he says, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Notice it, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is God's promise. Therefore, this promise is sure. It's reliable, this promise of salvation. Why? Because God cannot lie. The Bible speaks of God in the book of Hebrews and says it was impossible for God to lie. Again, the Bible speaks of the character of God in the book of Titus and it says God cannot lie. God is a God of truth and faithfulness to His word. Someone has once said that God writes with a pen that never blots. He speaks with a tongue that never slips. Indeed, He acts with a hand that never fails. His word is true. It is sure. It is reliable. It is steadfast. Therefore, dear friend, in our meeting today, God's promise of salvation to save you from your sin, to save you from a lost eternity in hell, and that promise to bring you to heaven, it's a sure promise. It's a reliable promise. It's a promise that you can rest upon. It's a promise that you can trust in with all your heart and all your soul. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon Christ to save you, you will be saved. There will be no doubts about it. There will be no mights about it or ifs about it or buts about it. God's salvation is sure. It's certain for those, whoever they are, wherever they are, who call upon the Lord for salvation. Yes, this promise is ancient. This promise is reliable. We can say further today that this promise of salvation is suitable. You see, God's promise of salvation is really suitable to all our needs, to all our personal needs before God. And maybe you ask the question today, what is my need if I am to be saved? What is needed if I am to be saved, if I am to be right with God? Well, you need to repent of your sins. Look at how Peter makes mention of that there in verse number 38 of the chapter. As he addresses the concerns of these people who were concerned about salvation. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He calls upon them to repent. What is repentance? It means you, yes, acknowledging your need as a sinner before God. Realizing that you're a sinner, lost and undone before God. It means you, yes, confessing your sins to God. It means you recognizing your need of God's salvation through Christ. That means, yes, a turning away from sin, a forsaking of sin, a change of attitude towards sin. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There can be no salvation without repentance. Also, you need the forgiveness of your sins if you are to be saved. And notice again how Peter makes reference to that in connection with this great promise. Look at what he says further there in verse 38 of Acts chapter number 2. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice these words, for the remission of sins. That really speaks there of the pardon of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God today, dear friend, in the promise of God's salvation. All your sins can be blotted out. All your sins can be forgiven and pardoned by God. How? Through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice at Calvary's cross. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The hymn writer rightly says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whatever your sins are, maybe sins that you've committed long, long ago and they trouble your heart and your mind today, there's a remedy for that sin in the blood of Christ. Oh, your sins can be dealt with, put away by the blood of Christ. Let me make it very clear that if your sins are not cleansed away by the blood of Christ, you cannot be saved. Only the blood and the blood of Christ alone can blot out our sins. Also, to be saved, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And notice again how Peter makes mention of this in connection with this great promise of salvation as he speaks further there to these people at the end of verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. He says, ye shall receive, he says, the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was speaking there of the new birth, being born again. You see, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit enters their heart. They're made, the Bible says, a partaker of the divine nature. They are born again. Turn in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, a very well-known passage of Scripture, I'm sure to most of us here today. Here the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus, a very upright man, religious man, moral man, respectable man in society, well-educated. And notice how Christ here emphasizes to him the need of the new birth to be born again. Look at verse 3 of John chapter 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, you have similar words there in verse 5. Except a man be born of water, that refers to the Word of God and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Notice the emphasis there upon the new birth. Here Christ highlights the necessity to this man Nicodemus that he must be born again, even though he was religious. Even though he was respectable, well-to-do in the community, upright, well-educated, whatever, he needed to be born again. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you're not born again, Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be saved. Oh, see here, yes, the necessity of the new birth in connection with this great promise of salvation. Friend, in our meeting this morning, you who are listening in also online today, let me say this. This is what you need. If you are to be saved, you must be born again. This is something you cannot set aside. You must be born again. You must repent of your sins and have your sins cleansed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Praise God, this promise, yes, of salvation is suitable to every single one of these needs in your heart, in your life, in your soul, before Almighty God.
The Bible says in the book of Romans, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. In his goodness, God, yes, can bring you to that place of repentance. In Acts 10, verse 43, it says, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins by faith in Christ, by faith in his sacrifice alone for salvation. God can pardon, blot out all your sins. His promise will be to you, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. Think also of the words of Paul as he writes in Titus 3, verse 5. He says, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You read that verse and the verses surrounding it, and you'll see there that Paul's life was changed by the Spirit of God within. He was born again. His life was completely revolutionized and changed. He could say, to me to live is Christ, instead of living for self and sin and false religion. When he was saved and born again, he started to live for Christ and the gospel till his dying day. Likewise, friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, the Holy Spirit also can change your life. For the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, if you were ill, you heard of a doctor who could heal you and who could help you, you would soon be knocking at the door of that doctor's surgery, asking for his help, asking for his assistance. Well, friend, in this great promise of God's salvation, you will find all you need, all that is needed for the salvation of your soul, all that is needed for you to be made right with God, ready for heaven, and saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. Something else we can say here about this promise of salvation, that it is a far-reaching promise. Look again carefully at what Peter says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Notice in particular those words there, unto you and to your children. And here we see that the promise of salvation was for the Jews, indeed, for their children. Bear in mind here that Peter was preaching to the Jews at this particular occasion. He was preaching to the house of Israel, to those very people who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Look at what he says prior to this in verse 36 of the passage. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, notice it, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here we see the promise of salvation is for the Jewish people. How important it is that the Church of Christ today prays for the Jewish people, prays for the land of Israel, especially at this time. And all the world is lining itself up against the Jew and the people of Israel. We're to pray, the Bible says, for the peace of Jerusalem. And especially that they'd come to know peace with God through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of salvation is for the Jew. The Bible says to the Jew first. But notice something else here that Peter says in our text. He says, to all them that are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Those words there really apply to all the Gentile nations of this world. You turn over there in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 2 and to the verse number 13. Here Paul is addressing those that were saved who were Gentiles in the church at Ephesus. And notice in particular what he says to them in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, notice the phrase, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Notice again the mention of that phrase, afar off. These Ephesians to whom Paul now writes, they were Gentiles. They were saved. They were converted to Christ. Oh, the great promise of the gospel is far, far reaching to Jew and to Gentile alike. You go back there to Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 21. Look at what it says. It says,
And it shall come to pass that whosoever, here's one of the great gospel whosoever's of the Bible, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Note that word, whosoever. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting today. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl listening in online, that word whosoever, it means you. It means you, yes, if you will call upon the Lord to save you, you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You see, God, yes, he offers salvation to all. Why? Because the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient. It's sufficient to save all, whoever they are, Jew or Gentile, who believe on Christ for salvation. There's a wonderful potency and sufficiency in the sacrifice, the atoning death of Christ for guilty sinners, Jew and Gentile alike. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, of God, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Friend, today, whoever you are, whatever your sin is, whatever your sin has been, maybe something's troubling your heart today that you've committed or been involved in many, many years ago, I don't know. But I know this, the blood of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can save you from your sin. The blood of Christ can cancel and blot out all your sin before God. For it has lost none of its ancient power. You think of what the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse 18. He says there, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Maybe the devil has kept you back from salvation, kept you back from Christ. Because of your sin, maybe that thought has come to your mind, oh, well, I could never be saved. The Lord can never save me. The Lord can never forgive my sins. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to that false lie of the evil one. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The blood of Christ is sufficient to blot out, to pardon all your sins. Notice one final thought here. This promise of salvation is a promise that must be believed and received. Again, this is what these Jerusalem sinners did when Peter preached there that day in Pentecost. They didn't argue with Peter. They didn't castigate Peter or try to deny and what he preached or what he said. Rather, you'll see from the passage that they believed his message. They believed what he said, and they received that message. They heeded it. They received the wondrous gift of God's salvation by trusting Christ as their Savior. And that day, Peter didn't beat about the bush. He was plain in his words that he used. Look at what he says at the end of verse number 40. He says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Imagine that. 3,000 souls that day who heard the message, who received the message, who believed the message, who trusted Christ. Right at the very end of the chapter it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was a receiving of the gospel, an accepting of it. Again, that is how it was with the Apostle Paul, the chief of sinners. He could say of Christ, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul heard the message of the gospel. God spoke to him, dealt with him. On the road to Damascus, you can read about it in Acts chapter 9. What did he say? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There was a yielding to Christ, yielding to the message of the gospel. And friend, this is how it must be with you also. If you are to be saved from your sin and hell and sure of heaven, you're not to kick against the pricks, not to kick against the message of the gospel and the message of the word of God, no. You must believe that message for yourself. You must receive it for yourself. And receive Christ personally to be your own and personal Savior by faith. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received Christ today by faith? Have you trusted him? Is he your hope today? Is he your salvation today? Is he your all in all? In the year 1821, there was a man by the name of George Wilson. He was sentenced by a U.S. court to death for crime, for the crime of robbery and murder. And in the course of events, the then President of the United States, President Jackson, he offered this man, George Wilson, a pardon. But Wilson said it was only a pardon for him if he accepted it. And the Supreme Court was left to decide the matter for George Wilson on that occasion. And the court ruled and said, a pardon is a paper the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. If refused, it is no pardon. And sadly, history tells us that that man, George Wilson, he refused the president's pardon. And he was hung for his crime on that occasion. You know, unsaved friend in our meeting today, unsaved friend listening in today, there's a solemn lesson for you there in that account from history, and it is this. If you refuse God's offer of pardon, God's offer of salvation for you through faith in Christ, and you cannot be saved, then you too will perish in your sin. You too will be punished for your sin in a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. It says in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son shall be saved, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting, unsaved. You who are unsaved listening into this message online, I say to you today, refuse and reject God's salvation no longer. For God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The word of God says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Follow the example of these people to whom Peter was preaching to that day in Acts chapter 2. Receive the message of the gospel for you, not for someone else, but for you. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Call upon him today. Lift up your heart in prayer, even in this meeting. Then the Lord will hear your cry. He will save your soul. He will fit you for heaven. The Lord says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I was hearing the other day of a lady that attended a prayer meeting, stranger to the prayer meeting. After the prayer meeting was over, the person taking that prayer meeting spoke to that person and says, good to see you at the prayer meeting. Tell me, when were you saved? When did you become a Christian? And the person simply replied, right now, tonight in this prayer meeting, I got saved. I trusted the Lord for my salvation. She was saved there and then on the spot. Witness and confess Christ to be your Savior. The Lord can save you right here in the very spot on the seat where you're sitting in today. If you'll call upon the Lord and accept the Lord by faith to be your own and personal Savior. It's the all-important matter, are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of Christ? Oh, are you rejoicing today in God's so great salvation. We'll close our meeting today by singing together the final hymn in our order of service. It's 483 in our own hymn book. It says, there's a Savior from all sin. If you'll only let him in to your heart, he there will reign while you trust him. He will put the evil out, save from every fear and doubt, and you'll soon begin to shout, hallelujah. 483, we'll keep our seats while we sing.
Savior.
close our meeting with a word of prayer. But there's one here today and you're concerned about your salvation. Don't delay. There's danger and death and delay. Come to Christ today. Accept Him. Call upon Him for salvation. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Christ who is able to save you to the uttermost. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Bless Thy Word to every heart. Encourage the saints of God. Help us to rejoice in Thy so great salvation, to tell others about it, to live to the glory of God because of that salvation. And Lord, for any in our meeting today, any listening in also on sea, may they come today and taste and see that the Lord is good. Part us now with Thy fear and favour. Take us to our homes in safety. Return us again in Thy will this afternoon. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks for all Thy many mercies.